Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of the virgin birth in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. This is part 2 of 2.
Why? Because the received text gave us the King James Bible. Then apostate scholarship gave us the Vatican Codex. Go look it up. Go look up the history. The first major abandonment of the King James Bible was in 1881. And a man named Fenton John Anthony Hort, along with a Bishop Westcott, headed up the revision committee. They were told to just take the King James and update some of the language. And of course, that's what they always lie and tell you they're doing. So what did they do? That means they should have had a Textus Receptus Greek text, Masoretic Hebrew text, and the King James 1611, and just gone to work.
Amen.
That's not what they did. Fenton John Anthony Hort brought in the Vatican Bible.
Yep.
Old Testament and New Testament, not in Koine Greek, but in classical Greek, and including the Apocrypha.
Yep.
And he snuck that in to the committee, and they used that to change the King James Bible, and that's why the revised version of 1880 and the American Standard of 1901, same game, they both changed thousands of readings from your King James Bible. And they look exactly like what you see in your NIV, your ESV, your New American Standard. They're all from the same bastardized false text.
Amen.
Vatican, 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 the home of the Antichrist. All popes are Antichrist, and the last one will be the Antichrist. And if you're using a new version, you're using the Bible of the Antichrist. And in those, several of them not only change Isaiah 7:14 to take away virgin and say young woman or young maiden, they also, as John I think pointed out last week, call Joseph his father. In order to make it look like Jesus was not born of a virgin. Yeah, John?
Yeah. And just another word, Vatican means house of the serpent. And there's Mary.
And it's on top of a cemetery.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism God put in there just to give kind of a flashing red lights to anybody who cares. So that's wrong.
Amen.
Mary does not bruise the head of the serpent. Jesus does, and he does it under our feet, Revelation 19, coming in about 7+ years. Yeah, Johnny?
You can say, well, she does in the sense that she'll be with us when Jesus does it under
our feet. Well, but see, she's not bruising.
He's doing it
under her feet as well, yes.
Amen.
So,
just a
all right, verse 35. Well, I just, you don't, just keep the words, she does in a sense away, because she doesn't in a sense.
Right.
She does in the same way all the rest of us fulfill Romans 16:20. So verse 35 continues and says, and the angel answered and said unto her. Now, first of all, we just read that like yawn. She's talking to an angel. He's a real one too, not the figment of her imagination. This isn't Moroni with Joseph Smith. And this isn't one of these angels from TBN, you know, where, you know, Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland, they said, an angel showed up and he talked to me and he said, hey man, how you doing? I'm like, I'm okay, how are you? You know, that's how they claim that they have conversations with angels, and that's how it goes. Hogwash.
Amen.
And they're looking for suckers, just like all the other false religions. So it says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. No sex involved.
Amen.
That has to be said because Louis Farrakhan and his black Islamists and who's the other one? Well, the Mormon church, if you look in the Mormon prophets and others, in the New Age movement, others would teach that the Holy Spirit came as a man and had sex with Mary. Now, why do they do that? Because they're unbelievers. People have asked me, do you think you have to believe in the virgin birth in order to be saved? My answer is, well, you have to believe it because Jesus had to be sinless. But also, it's this. I also say this. I just believe that if it's an unbeliever you're talking to, they'll give evidence to that. And one of the ways they give evidence is by denying the virgin birth. How do you know a man's a believer? Or how do you know he's an unbeliever? How do I know they're an unbeliever? They reject the virgin birth. And they reject other facts of Scripture. When you start picking and choosing what you're going to believe in this book, you're telling me I'm not a believer. Believers, we ended the last study, I believe. Believers believe the Bible. Amen? Amen. Say that with me. Believers believe the Bible. Say it this way. Bible believers believe the Bible. Say that with me. Bible believers believe the Bible. Now, if you're not a Bible believer, you're not a Christian. Faith. How many of you are saved by faith? How many of you are saved by faith? Aren't all Christians saved by faith? What did Jill just quote? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? 2 Thessalonians 2:3, we've talked about it, says that you must believe this book, God's Word, is the Word of God. Amen. If you believe it's the Word of man, you can't be saved. Amen. So if someone claims to be a Christian, but they don't believe this book, they're not saved. Amen. And of course, if anybody's listening this morning, it's just a choice for you to believe that this book is the Word of God, just like it's a choice for you to reject this book. And if you will choose to believe that this book is the Word of God, you can be saved. I'm not preaching that there's, you know, like you're lost and there's no hope for you. But as long as you will not accept what's in this book is the Word of God, you can't be saved. You have to repent. So God the Holy Ghost produced the body of the sinless Son of God in the womb of a virgin. Now, is that difficult? For you and I would be. Who are we talking about here, though? God, the Holy Ghost. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. What's that mean? That means that God the Holy Ghost, third person of the Godhead, not in order of importance, but in order of hierarchy, God the Holy Ghost puts the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, into the womb of Mary. No sex involved, and it's not too hard for God. We're going to jump ahead just a second. I want you to go to verse 37 in Luke 1. You there? Read it with me. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Got a problem with virgin birth, you got a problem with God. Let me just let you in on something. If you call yourself a theist, then act like one. If you're a theist, if you believe in God, there's nothing impossible with God. What's your hang up with the virgin birth? Amen. You should have no hang up with anything God does. He's God.
Right.
And if he had not been the sinless Son of God, which means he couldn't have been born by the seed of a man, he could not have died for anyone's sins. Muhammad couldn't die for your sins. He was a product of a sinful man with a sinful woman. Buddha was a product of a sinful man and a sinful woman. Confucius was a product of a sinful man and a sinful woman. Name the religion and religious leader. They were all conceived in sin by a sinful man with a sinful woman producing a sinful little baby, and the first chance that little baby gets to disobey mom and dad, they do. Amen. You know another thing you'll see little babies do? Lie. Before they can even talk. You know that? Little baby realizes the language of the cry. And I can make mommy jump and act like there's something wrong with me. I can act like I'm hungry. I can act like I did a doo-doo. I can act, and mommy comes running. Suddenly mommy realizes the last few times he's cried, he hadn't really needed anything. what's going on here? That's when mommy, unlike the rest of us, mommy develops the ear. And then the fake cry becomes obvious to mommy. And suddenly mommy knows baby ain't hungry or did a doo-doo. Baby's a liar. Yeah, amen. And then it just gets worse, amen? And that's not even before they turn into teenagers, amen? But Jesus didn't have that sin nature. And so he was born a perfect little baby. And I'm just saying this because it's true. Did he have to eat? Did Mary breastfeed him? Yes. Did he do a doo-doo? Yes. But I firmly believe that it's just a fact that when he cried, it was never when he didn't need something. He just cried when he was hungry and cried when he needed change. He cried when he, you know, wanted some attention maybe. But not deceptively, not sinfully. When he grew up, he was that kid. And not that any other kid's been perfect like Jesus and sinless like Jesus, but how many of you have known that guy or that girl? And it's like she never or he never did anything wrong. And so the kids would focus on him to what? Make him stumble. Dare him to do stuff. Put sin in front of her to make her trip up so that they could say, well, see, she's no better than me. He's no better than me. I've seen it. I experienced it myself, and I watched it in my own kids. You know, Mariah was far from the perfect child, but she was a lot less disobedient than a couple other kids I raised. And there were times, especially as they approached being teenagers, you could see it. They couldn't stand it. And I tried my best to deal with it, but my answer is just be good, be a decent kid yourself, and you don't have to worry about it. Amen? But that's not what happens. Jenny's quoted her pastor many times, you know, if you're wearing white gloves and you put your hand in the mud and the dirt, what happens? The dirt and mud doesn't get clean. The gloves get dirty and muddy. And that's what happens when, sadly, too many of us, even when we try, if we hang out with that element, that crowd, they'll bring you down. Amen? So what do? You've got to put some separation there. Well, I think Jesus, one of the things that marked him is when the kids went out to go toilet papering or corning or whatever, Jesus stayed home. Yeah. He said they didn't do that back then. I'm sure they did something. I mean, the kids were kids, amen? They're always doing something. Maybe they went cow tipping. I don't know what they did, but whatever they did, when Jesus knew they were going to do something wrong, he just stayed home. I don't think he was a narc. I don't think he went around town telling on him, he's over there doing that. He's over here. He didn't do that. He was just a good kid. And he grew up to die for our sins, sinless.
Amen.
What's the difference? Every one of us have sinned. That's why we need Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't need us. We need Him.
Amen.
And anyone unable to buy the virgin birth, I've heard it put that way, I just can't buy that virgin birth. They have one single issue, and that is unbelief. That's it. So when you're talking to somebody, and I hope there's no one here like this morning, but if you're talking to somebody and they just say, oh, I just can't buy into that, I just can't believe, their problem's unbelief. What you got to do? You tell them. This point blank, tell them. Say, you know what? You just have a problem with unbelief. And I don't care what anybody says, it's a choice. Just one more thing. God gave the Apostle Paul this explanation. We're told that Jesus is the second man. You ever heard of that? Second man? So I want to close by going over to 1 Corinthians 15 for just a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. Jenny, did you bring up the bread? No. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning verse 45. We're going to read a few verses. I think 6 total there I got written down. We went through this many, many moons ago in our study of 1 Corinthians. our BA years before all ball. It was before Sharon Hall. We were in the, I think when we did this, I know most of the 1 Corinthians, we were in the movie theater. Walked around, we'd go as we'd walk around because all the sticky stuff where people spear the pop and everything. Good times. So verse 45 begins and says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And then it says, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Now why is Jesus referred to as the last Adam or the second man? Because you remember when Adam was created, he was sinless. He was a grown man. Created in the form of, as a grown man, sinless.
Amen.
But, of course, we know the story. What happened to Adam? Adam fell. Read verse 46 with me. "Howbeit," read with me, are you there? "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual." Now he's talking about the different types of bodies, and there's a natural body and a spiritual body. But for the purposes of our discussion, we're going to zone in on the fact that Adam being natural of the flesh, Jesus of the spirit. Verse 47, notice it says, "The first man is of the earth," earthy. Okay, now read the rest of that with me. "The second man is the Lord from heaven." I've had people say, "I just don't believe Jesus is God." Well, you're just an unbeliever. You don't believe the Bible. That verse we just read says the second man is the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
But you have to believe in the Trinity. You have to be a Trinitarian, not just a theist. Because you have to believe that the Father can be in heaven while the Holy Ghost is in all places all time. God's all places all time, but we're saying as the person in the Holy Ghost, He came down and He impregnated Mary with the physical body of Jesus, who is, according to this, the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
That's the mystery of the Trinity. We can't explain it all, but we know that the Father in heaven sent the Spirit to Mary and put Jesus as a baby, and at this time, microscopic size, in her womb. Isn't the Trinity amazing?
Amen.
Isn't God amazing? It's an amazing thing. So the second man is the Lord from heaven, and it says in verse 48, "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy." What's earthy? Earthy. Earth is now fallen. I mean, everything's dying. I saw like 3 different dead animals on the way in this morning. Roadkill. Roadkill is just a reminder that we're in a fallen world. During the millennium, there isn't going to have to be anybody tasked with the job of picking up roadkill. And then it continues, says, "And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." And that's, of course, going to include us one of these days. Amen? Verse 49 says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy," right now, you and I, men and women, all human beings, we have the image of Adam. Now, it's something that just true. People like to say, well, all men are created in God's image. And that's just not true. Adam was created in the image of God, but then he sinned and fell. And since then, read your Bible, Adam's children were born in his image. You look it up. And all of us are born in the image of our parents, which includes not only how you look and all that, but the sinful nature. We are born again, and our soul and spirit have been circumcised from the flesh. And then one day this body itself is going to be born again. And then we will have put on the image of His Son. See how that works?
Amen.
And that's why it says in verse 49, And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. See, it doesn't say you do now, but the day's coming when you will.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I mean, I cut grass and did some things that we haven't done in a long time, just out of necessity. I just, you know, when it gets rain, it cleans the air and I can do more. And we had good clean air. What was that, Friday or Saturday? Was that Saturday? Yesterday. Whew. Man, I got home that evening and, oh, I had used muscles I didn't even know existed anymore. And I was so sore. And I got out of bed this morning and what's it, Romans 8 talks about the whole creation groaning. And I was like, oh, man, I'm getting out of the moving. And just, you know, take my shower, drink my coffee, move around a little bit, and still feeling like somebody beat me with a sock full of coins. If you don't know what that means, you have to watch the Few Good Men with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise. They beat a guy up with that. Anyway, Doug's back with us. He knows what we're talking about. He's been laid up with back problems. Otis, he could tell you stories about what he's been through. Dave, you talk about the old body breaking down and giving you trouble. Brother John can tell you. All this, I mean, I'm just picking out a few of you. Just as you noticed, I didn't mention any women. But they can tell you stories too. Amen? But the women like to tell you the big one. Childbirth. That's one of, you know. And one of these days you're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Why? Because a virgin-born Savior died for your sins.
Amen.
Read verse 50 with me. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And because of that, you must be born again. Because of that, you have to be saved. If you're not born again, you cannot go to heaven.
Amen.
Why? Because you're still corrupt. You haven't experienced the new birth, which is the spiritual circumcision. Which means that when the rapture happens, you're not going up. And if you die before the rapture, then when the rapture happens and the dead in Christ rise first, your body will remain in a grave. People say, somebody was telling me this morning, John, I think, was talking about that Zimmerman fellow. He's asking if he's saved. He says, no, I'm a Catholic.
Yep.
Well, man, then stop being a Catholic and get saved. If that's what you got to do, get away from that false gospel and everything. Doug?
A lot of people, whenever you witness to them, they say, I don't believe in hell. Well, you go back to Revelation 19 and 20, it's there. If you don't believe it, it doesn't mean it's not so.
Exactly. And you're not getting into heaven, so you got to go somewhere. And the Bible is clear, there's only two choices. If you end up in hell, it's because you chose it. Don't blame God. Of course, I think people will be down there blaming God. They're going to be in hell screaming and cussing and blaspheming and blaming God. That's a whole other thing. I'm going to get into that. But that's why we call on people now to repent, because you can't repent in hell.
Amen.
It's too late. And of course, that's why we preach the gospel now, because after we're raptured, there's no one to preach to. In the millennium, it'll say, you're not going to go out and say, know the Lord. Everybody's going to know the Lord. He's going to be on earth.
Yep.
So you got until the rapture to get your gospel preaching in, Christians.
Amen. Yep.
And you've got till the rapture to get saved, non-Christians.
Yep.
And you may not even have that long.
Yep.
Because none of us are guaranteed another breath, another heartbeat, another day.
Amen.
If you're unsaved right now and you do not turn to Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for our sins, just like it says up on that back banner in the corner, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There's only one word in the English language for you, and that's fool. Only a fool. I don't care about your past. I don't care what has happened up to this point. There might be people watching online live stream or watching this and hearing this in the future. I don't care when it is. This moment, right now, you are faced with the fact that you, if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. And you must be born again. You cannot get into heaven because you're corrupt.
Yep.
Just like we just read in the text. And if you want into heaven, you've got to put on the image of the heavenly, which can only be put on your spirit and your soul right now with spiritual circumcision when you're born again. And then one day, your whole physical body will be resurrected and glorified, and you're all going to look like Jesus.
Amen.
It's not going to be like physically looking like Him exactly in all your details, but it's going to be the people going to look at you. And it's like, it's similar. I think that's why God does that with our children. We look at Mariah, and she's heard her whole life, the poor thing. You look like your father. Well, no one really thinks Mariah is me. But people see me in her so much that they say, you look just like your father.
Gloria
looks just like, according to, if she's being good, she looks like Mariah. If she's being bad, she looks like Stephen. Amen? I grew up hearing both. I was confused because I didn't think my mom and dad looked alike. But people say, you look just like your dad, Bob. And somebody else say, well, you look just like your mama. And one time, mom tells a story. I was crying in the grocery store. And I couldn't find mom. And some other guy, I think he worked there, he come over and looked at my mom and says, you looking for a little boy that looks just like you? And she said, yeah. He's about 2 hours over crying his eyes out. Mom went over there and I was like, oh, you still are here. Okay. And I got back to business. And people knew whose kid I was. But no one's ever thought I really was her. And that's why in heaven, we're all going to be known as we are known. And yet we're going to have the image of the heavenly. Ain't that wonderful?
Highest archangels in glory, strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will serve His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent praise. To the Lord.